It's the afternoon cruise, and I'm chatting with guitarist Stanley Jordan. He's making his way back through town for a show on Thursday night over at the Dakota. Mr. Jordan, sincerely, thanks for taking the time to chat with Jazz 88.
Happy to talk with you, Sean.
Now, Stanley Jordan, you don't seem to be a stranger to the Twin Cities. Not only are you a pretty frequent guest at the Dakota, I even heard of you playing at a local haunt in my area, the White Squirrel. So what keeps bringing you back to the Twin Cities with so much regularity?
Well, it's true. I have been playing here a lot. And actually, the Dakota has been one of my most loyal venues and audiences for decades now. Minneapolis, St. Paul was one of the first major cities where I played, because back in the early 80s, when I was really just starting out, I was living in Madison, Wisconsin at the time, and we made a couple of sort of pilgrimages to this area. So, you know, I had some early coverage with some media, including TV then, and I was, you know, basically a nobody as far as the public was concerned, but people heard me and opened doors, and so I think that the connection has been really there for a long time.
Well, we're really grateful about it, because, you know, a lot of folks are out traveling more because record sales aren't what they used to be. But honestly, a lot of folks still won't come to Minnesota in December. So thank you, Stanley Jordan, for making your way up here during not perfect weather months. Now, you talked about at some point in the early 80s being a bit of a nobody, and that has certainly been a total U-turn, because you've become one of the most acclaimed and celebrated guitarists of the past half century. And I was curious, as you sort of made that transition from somebody who was, you know, just sort of in Madison trying to get things going and building up a fan base, and then you're signed to Blue Note and you start to be really the talk of the town, you get a lot of critical acclaim and you get also a lot of commercial success. How did that change your relationship with music, when it wasn't just a pipe dream to maybe do this, but it's actually, hey, this is my career, this is how I'm surviving, and beyond surviving, this is how I'm thriving? How did that change how you relate to the music?
It didn't change how I relate to the music, because I've always been so passionate about music. And to me, music, well, there's so many elements to it, but one of the main things is that I love the exploration. I love to try new things. I love to create new experiences. I love how music kind of opens us up on an emotional level, on a spiritual level. It challenges us to feel the moment, to be more present in the moment. And in that way, it is a part of our spiritual growth, because it puts us into mindfulness. And so for me, it's like creating that moment so that the here and now is all that matters. You don't even want to be anywhere else. That's what it's always been about for me. And that was my motivation for wanting to share that with other people. So when I started to kind of strategize, well, how am I going to build a career around this? It was still with the primary goal of creating something that was hopefully going to be a profound and meaningful experience for listeners, you know, to share that. And I mean, my plan worked really well, even better than I expected. But I definitely had a plan in mind. I mean, you know, I used to be a street musician. There's a lot of things I did early on, but I always knew that I would find a niche. I didn't know how big it would be, and it certainly ended up bigger than I expected. But I always expected that I would find a way to do music that was life-sustaining. And no matter what, even if, you know, they all decide, okay, I'm not, you know, like, what was the, she's in the fashion, one day you're in, one day you're out. If I just become totally out of fashion, I know at the very least I can play guitar and people will give me food or something. You know, I mean, on a basic level, I've got something to offer that I think the world can benefit from.
It's the afternoon cruise. I'm chatting with Stanley Jordan. He's playing on Thursday night at the Dakota, and he certainly does have something to offer. Now, Stanley Jordan, you talked a little bit about creating a moment, and in music, the spiritual experience of creating a moment where it's the only place you want to be is inside of that music. And for so many musicians, particularly in music rooted in the Black experience, but for so many musicians in so many different worlds of music, that often comes from collaborative playing with other people and sharing a moment. and you are a person who can get to the very essence of a song, the very essence of a moment, just alone by yourself. And sometimes I find the easiest way as a player myself to feel the sacredness of music is to be performing with other people. How do you create that focus on the moment and that intense connection to the music when you're by yourself and maybe you're thinking about your grocery list? If you don't do it right, you got to really plug in. How do you keep that discipline when it's just you up there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I practice for that. In other words, when I'm practicing, I'm not just practicing for what sounds do I want to be able to make on my guitar, but I'm also practicing for what do I want the experience to be. And so if my mind gets distracted, then that's a mistake. That's just the same as hitting a wrong note. If I'm thinking about my grocery list, unless if it's a song about my groceries, then I better be thinking about my grocery list, or that's a mistake. But whatever the music is about, I try to always be there completely. And in fact, this is one of the things that it's been my joy to share. The method that I use to develop my music, I think, can be really helpful to people. And we have added an event on Saturday, the 21st. I am actually going to be doing a seminar called Keys to Optimal Learning for Music. And if people want to know about that, they can go to stanleyjordan.com, check out my tour dates. It's going to be at Cadenza Music from 1 to 4 on Saturday afternoon. And I'm going to get into all of this stuff. It's like the inner game of music. It's like the how do you program your mind, body, spirit for maximum performance? And how do you make sure that the music is connected to your highest mission in life? And all that kind of stuff. And also practical stuff, because I want to make sure that people can use this information for what it is that they're learning too. So they can check my tour dates for that. But yeah, it relates to what you're saying, because that is one of the keys, is to be fully present.
I'm chatting with Stanley Jordan, and he's coming to the Dakota on Thursday night, and he'll be around for a couple days, including an event coming up at Cadenza on Saturday. Let's move to a strange philosophical reference. Are you ready for that, Stanley?
Yeah.
All right. My dad was an economist and a philosophy professor and things like that. And he told me about this quote that Karl Marx said, where somebody went to Karl Marx and said, "Yeah, you took Hegel's writing and flipped it upside down." And Karl Marx said, "No, I found Hegel flipped upside down and I turned him right side up." And you are a person who really innovated a new approach to guitar on a technical level as well. You use a different tuning, you relate to the grid, you do not traditionally play with a pick sort of in that area, but do a lot of tapping and things like that. And I don't think there's a question. It works for you. It is unbelievably beautiful and beyond beautiful. It's not a gimmick. Like this is at the ultimate height of your expression is doing it this way. My question for you is, are you like, this is how everybody should play guitar? Or are you like, this is a thing that works for me, and I'm going to make it work for me, but you're not going, hey, everybody else is playing it wrong. Like, I'm wondering when you think about other guitar players.
Well, you know, I'm reminded of that soul ballad, you know, from the 70s, but I'll paraphrase it. If playing this way is wrong, I don't want to be right. But, you know, it's interesting that you gave that quote of Marx. For talking about Hegel, and I'm not an expert in these matters, and I do. It is interesting to think, because this whole idea of Hegel's dialectics, and in a sense, what Marx is kind of doing, is he's kind of applying that, because he's saying that Hegel is the synthesis, and he's the antithesis. Mm. So then, maybe what we need from there is a synthesis, you know. So it's just an interesting kind of elaboration. Counterpoint or extension of what you're saying. That relates to a lot of things too, because in music, as music evolves, this also, I think, speaks to what happens. Because, you know, we come along, we hear the artists who came before us, and we think, okay, they did it like that, but I'm going to do it like this. And that's good, that's healthy. I mean, all the styles that we have today came from things that happened before. So there's nothing wrong with the sort of mismatch. You don't have to just imitate what came before. But on the other hand, I also don't think it's healthy to go too far in the other direction and just be different, just to be different. I mean, I think often when we're musicians and we're striving, we might go through a phase of that. I certainly did when I was younger. But I remember I was with my teacher, my guitar teacher, Elroy, and I said, okay, so I was developing all this really new stuff, and I just knew that I was this brilliant innovator, and I had some stuff that I was doing on guitar that nobody else was doing. And I showed Elroy, and I said, check this out, man. I got some new stuff, man. And he heard what I was doing, and he said, interesting. Let me show you something. And he played me a recording of Charlie Christian from 1940. And all the stuff that I thought I had just invented, he was doing that, and he even took it to another level. But, you know, that concept of taking what's gone before and then doing our variation on it, it's all good. But then I think the healthy sort of growth would be to still try to incorporate that. You know, like Ken Wilber talks about transcend and include. And so for me, even though I went through this whole phase where I was exploring all this stuff to the hilt, I kind of went back in a way and went back to basics, like how do I know that I'm getting just the right loudness on every note, or maybe playing just the right timing. You know, Prince talks about that one note that's a little bit late, just enough to turn you on. You know what I mean? Like, how do I know that I'm playing every note just right? And so, in a sense, I've gone really back to the drawing board and going deeper in to the music instead of piling more stuff on.
That's so inspiring, Stanley, because I think a lot of times people can think of technical innovators as not breathing deep into the soul and the spirit of the music, the rhythm of the music, the pacing of the music. Nobody would say that if they've listened to 5 minutes of your playing, because you imbue so much of that spirit and so much of that rhythmic connection, even with all your advanced technique as well. And
well, thank you, Sean. And you know, that's one of the things I talk about in my seminar too, because one of the things I point out is that we basically have two sides to our brain. And, you know, most people know this, but, you know, the sort of more rational and the more intuitive side. And each side has its own language. And my point is that you want to master the language of both sides, and you want to make sure that they're integrated. And so, for example, let's say that I have 10 new scales that I want to learn today. Well, that's a lot. 10 scales in one day, to really play them musically, it takes time to get into each one and really get into the soul of it. It's like with Indian ragas. It's like each raga is kind of a scale with a personality in a way. It's similar. And the idea is that you stay in that scale so long that you really have an intimate relationship with those notes. So rather than try to master all 10 scales, maybe what I'll do is I'll use my knowledge of theory, and that's the left side of the brain, to come up with 3 scales out of the 10 that best summarize the whole 10. So these, I can get to the other 7 from these, because there's a, you know, rational relationship there. Okay, so now I'm just going to take these 3 scales, and I'm just going to really go into the woodshed and master those 3 scales, because I know I can get to the other 7. So that's an example of how I think we need to be doing more integrating. And this also has meaning on a higher level, because I think that as a species, we're kind of at a crossroads right now, because we've got all this stuff that we figured out with the left side of our brain, but we don't necessarily have the sense of when to use it, how to use it. You know, are there limits to what we should do with AI, for example? Are we really asking these meaningful questions, or are we just going blindly forward? And I think that a more integrated human is not going to have that addictive personality, and we're going to be more patient, and we're going to appreciate each moment more, and we're going to make wiser decisions. So in that way, I think that music, like cultivating a more integral approach to music, can hopefully spill over and inspire people to be more integral, you know, in just their daily life, you know.
Within a month, Stanley Jordan's going to be full-time employed as my life coach. But for now, the man's still making a living playing guitar. You make a lot of sense, my friend. Like, we're about to wrap this thing up. But thank you for thinking this way, for sharing this with your audience. You could certainly have a fruitful career only performing. Thank you for also doing seminars and making that part of your offering. And thank you for how clearly you thought hard about this music. I don't know exactly how to phrase it. Felt hard about this music. And share so much with the people. And Stanley Jordan will be sharing some of that on Thursday night over at the Dakota. He's also going to be doing a sort of seminar setting event on Saturday at Cadenza. Stanley Jordan, thank you for taking time out of your day to chat with Jazz 88, and thanks for coming back to town.
Thank you, Sean, and thanks for Jazz 88 for all the great stuff you guys are doing. And thank you from the bottom of my heart to the people of the Twin Cities for being there for me through the years. I hope I can give back what you've given me.